Well, last week I started from verse 3 preaching on the subject of spiritual blessings. What we have in this life, and I don't want to preach again what I said on last week, but just as a reminder, there are some blessings that even if you're saved or not saved, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. There's some blessings that we all share from God. Because every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights out of heaven above. We all get to enjoy the same sunshine. We get to enjoy the same beauty. We get to enjoy the same springtime. Yes, I know it's snow now, but it won't be snow forever. We get to enjoy the same flowers. We get to enjoy love. We get to enjoy our family. There are blessings, even some scriptural blessings, that I believe that a sinner can enjoy. And I mentioned last week, honoring your parents. You'll never go wrong. If you're not a Christian and you honor your mother and father, I believe God will bless you for that. There are things that we do for God that God will bless. It doesn't save us. It doesn't take our sins away. But it's just blessings that we enjoy. But now spiritual blessings are different. Spiritual blessings are the blessings that only the saved can enjoy. And if we're not careful, we'll forget very quickly what it means to be a Christian, what we have because we are a Christian. You know, when I became a Christian and the Lord saved my soul and I was born again, God gave me some blessings that I didn't know, maybe I didn't know the terminology of it. I didn't understand all there was about it. But as I go along, I see more and more as it's revealed through Scripture in my life and through the power of the Holy Spirit, these wonderful blessings that God has given to us. Well, what are those blessings? Well, last week, I'm not going to read all the verses. In chapter 3, he mentions the spiritual blessings. Chapter 4, he starts telling us what they are. In verse 4 of chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, according as he hath chosen us in him. So last week I dealt with the word chosen. And of course, some people feel that certain people are chosen to be Christians and others are not. And we dealt with some of the fact that's not biblical. Anybody can be saved. He died for the world. We looked together at Scripture and went through several verses of Scripture dealing with Timothy's writings and Paul's writings, rather to Timothy, and some of the other verses of Scripture in Romans that teach us how that the whole world can be saved. Don't get hung up on the two words, chosen us. He has chosen us in Him. He's talking about the way that we are saved. The election of God before the foundation of the world was that the only way we could be chosen is to be in Him. So it's being in Christ that makes the difference. Then in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. And then of course we looked at that word adoption in Scripture and we found that it deals where being born again deals with our position in the Lord, being adopted and predestinated to the spirit of adoption, deals with our future in the Lord, to wit, the adoption of the body. Where one was merely a birth and gave us the position, the other was the legal adoption. And how even sons were adopted because all sons were not heirs. So what he's saying, just all of God's children are not an heir to everything that God has. When the Lord saved us, He not only saved us, but He also then has adopted us to give us the right to the inheritance that everything that He has is ours. And in the end, we get a glorified body like He's got. That's the teaching of the Word of God. So chosen deals with the past. Predestination deals with God's look for us toward the future. But now look, if you will, in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us, underline the word, accepted. Accepted in the Beloved. In whom we have, then the next phrase, redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now I'll stop there. The sentence is not finished. Paul gets so carried away he can't stop writing about what we have in the Lord. So he talks first about being chosen. And of course, when we think about chosen, we think of the past. Then he talks about predestined for the future. But now he's talking about being accepted in the Beloved. That's the present. That's where we presently are as a Christian. He has accepted us. We talk about accepting Christ, but the great thing that has happened in our life is the fact that He has accepted us. Now, you may not like the next statement, and the world doesn't preach the next statement, but we're not of the world. Christians, true Christians, those that are accepted in the Beloved, it's a members-only club. You have to stay out if it's not in Him. If he doesn't bring you into Him, Him in us and us in Him, and we have not been accepted, then we have no right to claim the spiritual blessings. Every blessing you have spiritually in your life is because He has accepted you. You know, it's one thing to be among someone, and it's another thing to be accepted by someone. You are in crowds all the time, and you can be in the midst of a crowd, but not to be accepted. The best way that I can explain it is when I was a kid growing up. Many of you remember the same events in your life. We would get together, and we oftentimes maybe would get together to play ball or to have teams. Whatever we were playing at the time, we'd have to choose up teams. So the strongest player usually got to make the choice. So they make the choice, and you're there with everybody, and you want to play like everybody else plays. But every now and then you get an odd number. And somebody didn't get picked. And then finally someone would say something like this, "Come on over to our team." Now that may not mean much to you unless you were the one that didn't get picked. Now I know all of you were superstars when you were kids, and I'm preaching to the wrong crowd. Nobody was the last one to be called. I don't know how that you feel, but I'm just glad He let me in. I'm glad He wanted me when nobody else maybe wanted me. He wanted me. You can go through your whole life and the devil whisper, "Nobody will accept you. They won't accept you at the job. They won't accept you in school. They won't accept you here. They won't accept you there. You've tried to get into everything in the world. You couldn't get in." I know somebody that will let you in today that wants you and cares about you. And if we are anything, He hath made us to be accepted in Him. It's not what we have done, it's what He has done for us. And that's our present. But then He goes on to deal with our pardon. When He talks about, we not only have the spiritual blessing of being chosen and predestined and accepted, but then He says we have redemption through His blood. Not just redemption, He tells us the price of redemption through His blood. I probably won't get much farther than this today because you get me on the blood and I have a tendency to get stuck. But it is the blood that has transformed us from slaves to sons. It is the blood that has changed our life forever. Not just any blood, through His blood. My blood couldn't save anyone and your blood couldn't save anyone. But the blood of Jesus has power to cleanse of all sin and all unrighteousness. And if I just hate anything today, when it comes to the teaching and preaching, I love teaching, I love preaching. But we've drifted so far that it just seems to me like there's not enough preaching about the blood. Some people say you make too much of the blood. You can never make too much of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the source of our salvation. It is the very fact that God, looking through the channels of time, saw us lost and without Christ and said, I'm going to send my Son, and He'll not only die, but He'll shed His blood. And that blood is the power that is needed to take care of every sin that we have ever committed. There is power, 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 wonder working power in the blood of Jesus Christ. I have listened over the years, and I'm drawn to preachers, old preachers, current preachers, contemporary, as far as the age that we're living in, preachers. I'm always drawn to those that have a love for the blood. I'm drawn to singers that write songs about the blood. Because without the blood, we have no redemption. The other day, I put together a list from some of those old preachers, among whom a lot of you probably wouldn't even know him. Dr. O.E. Caldwell. Dr. O.E. Caldwell pastored down in the Charleston, West Virginia area for years. And then in the latter years of his life, God gave him strength enough to go to a church at Huntington, West Virginia. He pastored there at Huntington. He started his ministry, was one of the preachers that preached in the era of time, as B.R. Lakin and others, that preached so adequately about the blood. And one time he was, in fact, it impacted so much, his daughter wrote a song from part of one of the sermons that he had. And I listened to his sermon, and I went back and read some other sermons from some of the other old preachers. And I jotted down a few things that they said. Oh, Dr. O.E. Caldwell would say, out of the chaos of fallen humanity, from beneath the crashing waves of God's judgment, there comes a cry of the lost, lifting higher and higher and higher, until suddenly from the throne of grace, there comes a stream, like a crimson river rolling down through the centuries of time, flowing past the gates of Eden and washing by the altar of Abel, splashing upon the banks of a ram that is caught in a thicket of Abraham, as Abraham stood staring at the banks, going and flowing down into Egypt among the households that had the protective covering as the river splashed by. And the Lord says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, splashing upon the brazen serpent in the wilderness, flowing down into the depths until it reaches the holiest of holies, going by patriarch and patriarch until finally it comes together, bursting as a fountain of mercy at Calvary. And Jesus, that Son of God, He mounted the cross of wood, and He came down and transformed that crimson cross to a crimson and chariot, and swept down through time, going on the battlefields for redemption, defeating every enemy and every devil as a parade in heaven gathers together and begins to sing with anthem, it is still the blood, it is still the blood, it is still the blood, it is still the blood. The waves come back and rose back to the apostles as they preached the message of the blood of Jesus Christ, and even today it flows through all humanity, touching sinful hearts, changing their life, transforming them forever. It has been, it will be forevermore, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If you're redeemed today, it is because of the blood of Jesus. Oh, Sam Jones used to preach, and he would say, I want so much the power of the blood of Jesus Christ in me that even if a mosquito bites me, it'll have to fly away singing, there's power in the blood. There is power in the blood. Is there anybody here today that you're not the same person you used to be? because of the blood of Jesus. I'm about to have a fit this morning. The world may not want to hear it, but it is real to me. It is real to me. I've got everything that I've ever believed anchored in the blood. Every hope I've ever had is anchored in the blood. Every promise that I've ever stood on is anchored in the blood. And thank God when we finally get there, they that overcome will say, we have overcome by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb of God. If you're going to make it'll be because of the blood of Jesus. So this redemption deals with our pardon. What happens? What happens to a sinner that confesses the power of Christ's work and trusts and believes in Jesus for the cleansing of sin? I don't know why, but I was drawn to something a few days ago, a little article that I was reading. And I guess November the 20th of 1959, at Oak Ridge, Tennessee, there at the Commission, Atomic Energy Commission, in their laboratory, there was a small amount of solvent that got mixed in the wrong mixture. And there was an explosion. They were working with plutonium. And some small traces of plutonium, when it blew the door open, escaped. And immediately, they called for shutdown. They shut down the plant, the processing plant. And they said, everything has to be purged. So they started to investigate, and they went out. They felt the safe zone was 4 acres out. I'm sorry, I know where I'm going. They went 4 acres out from where that accident has occurred. And everyone within that 4 acres had to take special tests to see if they had become contaminated or if in any way they'd come in contact with any of those particles that could be so deadly and dangerous. So when they brought them in, the first thing they had to do, they had to turn in their clothes. They said, it's contaminated, so you need new garments. They had to take a bath and cleanse themselves. They cleansed them repeatedly and washed them down and kept washing them down, until there was no trace of any pollutant whatsoever, and gave them new clothes to wear. The buildings had to be washed down, and all the buildings had to be repainted. All of the roofs had to be completely resurfaced. They went out into the lawn area, the surrounding lawn, and they dug up the lawn and buried it extremely deep to make sure the hazard would not be dangerous to anyone else. Then they took the surface of the roads and they chiseled off the surface of the roads. And they took that material and they buried it so deeply that it could never contaminate anything else. All of the buildings had to be completely redone. The building that housed them had to be just made new, washed over, completely clean, like it was brand new. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying or not. That was a great expense to our government, but at a greater expense, the Lord Jesus Christ says you're contaminated by sin. So this is what you need to do. You need to come to me and turn in your old garments, and I'm going to wash you and keep washing you. Well, glory to God, and keep washing washing you until you are clean from all the pollutants of sin. And then I'm going to give you a brand new garment. And by the way, everything you come in contact with, I'm going to bury it so deep, that no longer can it be seen by me. I'll no longer see it. It'll all be made brand new. I'm going to give you a brand new house to live in, a brand new tabernacle that I'll dwell with you and talk with you. That is the pardon that we had through the blood of Jesus Christ. Why then do people turn this pardon away? God planned it in the past. God says, God planned it so in the past that it'll take us all the way through to eternity. And in the present, He said, I am with you. If you're in the waters, they'll not overflow you. If you're in the fire, it'll not burn you. I'm there with you through all of it because I have redeemed you through the blood of Jesus Christ. In our country, pardons can be issued. In the 1800s, a pardon was issued to a criminal that rejected the pardon. And his lawyers went to fight because they had tried to defend him. But he rejected the pardon. Went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the basic decision of the Supreme Court said this: a pardon hinges upon the acceptance of the guilty party. In other words, just because a pardon is made available doesn't mean you have to take it. But I've come with the best news you'll ever hear in your life this morning. If you want forgiveness, you can have it. If you want a change, you can have it. If you want the Lord to forgive your sin, He will. If you want to go to heaven, you can. But He's not going to make you go. And He's not going to force you to go. You're going to have to say, Lord, I'm turning to You because I cannot save myself and I cannot redeem myself, but there is redemption through the blood.